This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, 60 minutes of nonstop talk on the Rich Cioli podcast.
So they defied the king. The governor doesn't like that, so they were arrested. Yes, the owners of Attilus Gym. What happened to them? They'll tell their story in just a moment. The president says we are moving full speed ahead with a vaccine. Will it be the October surprise that changes the election? Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. The Cioli Show on Twitter, at Rich Cioli. Facebook.com/Cioli Show and 855-839-1210. Great to have you with us today. A while ago, I had on Ian Smith and Frank Trombetti for the first time. Today, Ian Smith is back. This has been a long road for you, my friend. You've had to endure a lot. So the very first time he came on the show, you were planning to open your gym in defiance of King Phil Murphy. It then became a national story after you were on with me. And yesterday, after how many months now? How long has this been going on?
So from the day that we opened, it has been yesterday was day 70 that we've been battling this this shutdown. And that day 70 started after 2 months of being shut down.
And yesterday you were arrested.
Yes, at approximately 5:10 a.m., a handful of county sheriffs walked right into our gym without a warrant and disregarding all signage that that said that they needed a warrant and that they needed to contact the front desk before entering. They walked right in and told Frank and I that we were under arrest.
Did they have arrest warrants for you?
No, they didn't show anything.
So what was the grounds of the arrest? Did they tell you at the time?
No. I think they just assumed that we knew that we had upset the governor, and they kind of assumed that they knew, or we knew why they were there, and we did. But a total breach of protocol, absolutely.
All right, so you got arrested officially. You were charged with, I think, three counts of something, right? Is that right?
Yes, obstruction, a disorderly persons, and an archaic charge that was so old that in the police station they didn't even have it in the computer while they were booking us. It's a violation of an Emergency Powers Act, which is, you know, these statutes are so old, they're not even 2C statutes, they're A, and they had to actually look it up on Google, which is pretty funny. Frank and I were laughing at them as they were trying to book us.
No way. They actually had to Google it? That's amazing.
Yeah,
now, did they charge with the Logan Act violation, too, or did they not do that yesterday?
To my knowledge, they did not.
it's amazing to me. All right, so you got arrested, and all you want to do is just have your gym open. All you want to do is just keep people safe and let people train, social distance, and wear masks. And, I mean, you want to follow all the rules. But Phil Murphy is a child, and he doesn't like the fact that you crossed him a long time ago. So he's going to make sure that he proves that he's powerful, and he's going to you know, punish you guys over and over again. What's next for you?
Well, yesterday, you know, once we were done, we returned to the gym, and they put up a flimsy plywood barricade over the door. So we took the day to kind of recharge. Mind you that Frank and I have been at the gym for 24 hours a day since last Thursday. And we've been sort of sleeping in shifts with the doors off of the building in preparation for this, knowing that we would eventually get arrested. So, you know, we took yesterday to kind of recharge, and Frank was on Hannity last night, and I went on Tucker Carlson. And today we have some meetings with our legal representation and some other political figures looking at how we're going to move forward, and we're going to kind of sit down and plan out. Governor Murphy, as well as five other public officials, received an affidavit yesterday at 3 p.m. on their desks And they have 72 hours to respond to that. So we have a couple things in the works. We're not 100% sure what our next step is, but we're 100% sure that we absolutely will not be backing down, and we will have our gym back open no matter what.
Ian Smith joins me. He's the owner of Attila's Gym in Belmar, New Jersey, and he's fighting for freedom here. And you know what? I think it's important to say, too, why are you doing this? For those that might be listening to the show for the first time or hearing you for the first time, Ian Smith, why are you doing this?
Well, first of all, I think it's really important to remember one thing here. And this is a statement that I keep stating over and over again. And it's simple. They asked for 14 days. To flatten the curve. 14 days, they asked for 2 weeks. And that wasn't unreasonable. But now here in Jersey, we're on day 133. This is outrageous. This is unconstitutional. This is a violation of our rights. And politicians do not get to wield this type of power. They are not kings. So yes, this is about opening our gym, sure. But this is about setting the precedent that these people are not allowed to do this, and unless we stand up to them and push back, they will do this. And this is not good for anybody, because when people in power start to act in this tyrannical way, it's not going to end well for anybody. And it's very clear that this is not about public health, because if it was, they would be talking about public health. They're not talking about public health. They're saying, put a mask on, shut up. Don't question anything, and we'll tell you when to come out. And that's not a public health policy. If they were interested in public health, and if they were actually putting in policy and talking about how to get healthy and how to protect ourselves from a virus, I would be more willing to listen. But they haven't put forth any plans to do so, and it's all just about control and power. And I think that it's important that every American starts pushing back against that really hard, because if we don't, it's going to be too late eventually, and we're all going to be in a situation that we don't want to be in.
Yeah, I think it's important for people to remember that these powers that Murphy is using here, the legislature did not pass a law forcing Attila's Gym to close, or any other gym for that matter. There's been no legislating. These are all executive decrees by Phil Murphy. And we don't have a king, and he's acting like a king. He's acting like a totalitarian king. Without any check, without any oversight, without any legislative input, there's no balance of powers. There's no separation of powers here. It's all him. It's whatever decision he wants. And he's a hypocrite because, you know, this is a guy who marched with hundreds of people in protest. He'll be out, you know, he'll be social distancing one day, and the next day he's posing for pictures of people not even wearing a mask. I mean, he has broken his own rules, and nothing happened to him. You know, when Phil Murphy was out there, Ian Smith, in violation of his own orders against large gatherings, when he was protesting and marching with groups, he should have been summoned under his own executive orders. But of course, nothing happens to him. He argued that was civil disobedience. He argued that that was his constitutional right and all the rights of the protesters. And we agree. But you have a right to your business and to be open, and you have a right to free association. And you try to defy that, you wind up in handcuffs. And that is why the hypocrisy just absolutely burns me, and so many other people too, because it's not even like we can have the state Senate debate this. He's not allowing the legislature. As long as this virus is present, he's got all the power, and he doesn't want to let it go.
Yeah. You know, the amount of times he's violated his own executive order it's just insane. If you can't take a step back from that, from all this, no matter where your political ideology falls, whether you're on the left, whether you're on the right, whether you're somewhere in the center, if you can't take a look at what's going on and just take a step back and look at how this is unfolding, whether that be with our situation or anything else, the double standards are ridiculous. And this is, like you said, it's not a king. You know, politicians in America do not serve from above. They serve below the people. They're elected to serve the people. The people do not serve the politicians, and we certainly don't answer to them. Politicians answer to us, and we've got this turned upside down on its head, where we're governed by this "do as I say, but not as I do" mentality. Because every single one of his executive orders he's broken, be that indoor dining, be that large gatherings, you know, you name it, he's broken it. And he does so with impunity, and there are supposed to be checks and balances. And you know, when they originally locked our doors the Friday that we reopened, we allowed we backed off because we wanted to allow the judicial system to work in the fashion that it's supposed to. There are supposed to be checks and balances in the American government system. But the fact is that these judges are either too scared or bought and paid for by Murphy. They won't rule against them. You know, we were in federal court, and we got kicked out of federal court without a hearing. We get this lame duck excuse from a federal judge who just chooses not to rule. You know, if I choose not to do my job, I get fired. But these federal judges are just abstaining from hearing things, and the same thing in the state court. So the system is failing us on almost every level here. The executive branch is way out of control in New Jersey and in other places, and the judicial system is either bought and paid for or too cowardly to make the right decision. The legislative branches are just being blocked. It's, you know, what we have here is government out of control. And again, no matter where you stand politically, this should alarm you. When people in power start acting as if they are above the law, I mean, that should set off a big red flag for everybody.
Yeah, no, this is not the way our system of government is supposed to work. You know, a short-term, like you said, a short-term emergency, 14 days, yes, everybody understands that the governor should, for 14 days, have that power to but we're on day number what now? What day?
133, or we are approaching 10 times the amount of time that Governor Murphy requested in the beginning.
Think about this for a second. I mean, and we're not math guys, you and I, but that's okay. But think about this now. If there's no vaccine in the fall, this could go on for another year, 2 years. Does he just maintain this unilateral power the entire time and then get to keep you shut down until there's a cure? I mean, is that basically what we're going for here? And that's the question that I want a judge to really face. I want a judge to answer that question. I mean, that's not it's not realistic or rational to think that until there's a cure for a virus, there's no longer a constitution where a governor is unaccountable, where there's no checks and balances. I mean, that's just insane. We can't operate. We didn't operate like that when we were under world wars, I mean, let alone a virus, you know?
Yeah, no, it's pretending that a vaccine is a sound public health policy is a joke. That's just another farce to keep people under control and keep people sedated. You know, keep telling them, wait for a vaccine. Public health is much more than putting on a mask and waiting for a vaccine. You know, the studies and the science are there that hydroxychloroquine works. We already have a cure for this. And it's being suppressed because they don't want the cure. They want the virus because it allows it gives them the fear that they need to keep people under wraps and keep people from questioning and keep using these powers and abusing these powers. You know, without that virus, they don't have these powers.
The virus, you'd have to give the legislature back their power. And that's just the reality. So if you shake your head at what Ian's saying, remember that Phil Murphy could give the power back to the legislature at any day now. It's entirely up to him because there's a public health emergency. Let me just make one more question for you, Ian, before I let you go. So today, Attila's Gym, Belmar, New Jersey, what are you planning to do today?
Today, Frank and I are going to meet with a couple of people. We're going to start game planning as to how to proceed. But at the end of the day, I can tell you this, is that our gym will absolutely reopen and Phil Murphy will not stop us from doing so.
Good luck, my friend. I admire you. I really do. I think that this country, civil disobedience is so important for our system of we the people to be heard. And, you know, whether it's civil rights or it's the right of people to free associate, the right of people to have a business, the right of people to stand up to a person who is, in my opinion, abusing the Constitution, abusing the power that he was given by the legislature. If people don't do it, then the totalitarians win. So keep me posted. I'm sure we'll all be posted. This is a national story now. We're watching it very closely. Ian Smith, Attila's Gym, thanks for your time today, man. I know you're in high demand, so thank you.
Thanks a lot, Rich. You have a great day.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, 855-839-1210 if you want to weigh in on this. I'm just looking at social media, doing a quick check-in of social media by our friends at Cherry Hill Volvo. Why not tell the whole story, BT Squared asks. A court ordered a close and they opened contempt. They moved their equipment back inside and had people in there after they were allowed to have it outside. Yeah, they moved inside. Yeah, that's right. They moved inside. They're not denying that. And they're also not denying that they disregarded the court order. Yeah, they know that. They're doing this. It's called civil disobedience. What part of the story am I not telling, and what part of the story did you not get there, genius? Try listening. Try listening instead of tweeting. You might get your answer before you even fire off the tweet. Oh, and he's back again. Yeah, allowing the judicial system to work until it doesn't go their way. Then it's corrupt. LOL. Let me ask you a question. We're paying respects to a civil rights icon named John Lewis. How many corrupt courts throughout our nation's history wound up suppressing people based on the color of their skin from having businesses opened? And then they defied those court orders. So suddenly now we're going to look at courts now as the be-all end-all, and courts have never okayed, say, systemic racism. Courts have never ingrained taking away people's rights and their liberty without due process. No, courts have never done that, right? They're the be-all end-all. It's really amazing how the left will spin themselves into knots to justify this on a day when we're saying goodbye to a civil rights icon who defied authority and marched across a bridge and got his head bashed in by the authority. It's always amazing to me how people don't quite get it, you know, and then they pick and choose. Well, that's a different cause. That cause is just, but your cause isn't just. You don't get to say, pal. That's the thing. You don't get to say. And this government doesn't get to say either. That's the thing. That's the beauty of the First Amendment. You don't get to say. They don't get to say. 855-839-1210. 855-839-1210. You know how many people after Martin Luther King and John Lewis walked over the Pettus Bridge probably said, well, they were told not to cross it. They knew what would happen if they did. They knew what would happen. It's on them. They knew what would happen. They were told not to cross that bridge. So they got what they deserved. How many people you think probably said that back then? Or said, you know, well, they were impeding traffic by walking on a bridge. Thank God Kenny wasn't around. He would have had them all tear gassed. Oh, that's what he does in Philadelphia nowadays. That's right. He's apologized for that. I forgot. My bad. The mayor of Philadelphia apologized for that. But no, I'm sure people back then said those things. You know, well, they deserved it because they disregarded the orders. They were told, and they did it anyway. Yes. 855-839-1210. 855-839-1210. Now, let's see here. I have a play of this clip. Speaking of vaccines, and I don't want to get into the debate about vaccines because it's boring radio. It really is. There are certain topics that are just boring, and vaccines are one of them. But I want to take a point of the vaccine being a political issue in the fall, all right? A political issue in the fall. That's where we're going to go with this topic.
The Rich Zeoli Show on your schedule. This is the Zeoli Show podcast.
Dave is in Marlton. Dave, good morning. How are you, sir?
Good, good. How are you, Rich?
Okay, thanks.
Good, good. Thanks for having these gentlemen on. They're an inspiration. But I just wanted to say two things. One, you had said something about civil disobedience. Maybe I'm splitting hairs, but I don't consider it disobedience if it's an unlawful order. Thomas Jefferson talked about it in the Kentucky Resolutions, and he called it a nullification when it's an unlawful order, and that's what I think they're doing. They're nullifying. Second thing I just wanted to say is one of the things that worries me is you keep talking about mandatory until they get mandatory vaccinations.
I never said mandatory. Never said mandatory vaccinations.
Oh, I'm sorry. You did not. That's right. You did not. I guess when I was leading that, you kept saying that until we get vaccinations as if that's the solution.
That's how they're acting. They're acting that until there's a vaccine, they're going to be in charge. Do you disagree with that? That's how they're acting?
That was my point. I feel like they're doing this until to scare us until they get mandatory vaccination.
Well, that's what they're saying. Listen. Leave the word mandatory out of it. They're acting in unilateral power, with unchecked power. The argument being until there's a vaccine, this is the new normal. That's what they keep saying. You agree with that, right?
Yes, I do, yes.
Okay, that's the point I'm making, all right?
Okay, thank you very much. Good job.
You're welcome. You have a nice day. Bye-bye. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. It is civil disobedience because they don't have the power to nullify a law. Unfortunately, or an executive order. Courts can engage in nullification. Juries can engage in nullification, by the way. Ray is in South Philly. Ray, good morning. How are you, sir?
Good morning. How are you?
Doing well.
I just wanted to know, at what point do we start to say that the police should stop enforcing these orders and that the police should say, okay, these are unjust. If you want these enforced, we're not doing it. I understand they have a job to do and their hands are a little bit tied, but at a certain point, shouldn't the police union or maybe the higher up say, you know what, we're not enforcing these. And maybe in these.
Well, it is a lawful order. Look, hang on. If a judge orders somebody arrested, that is a lawful order. I mean, you may not like it. I don't like it, but it's lawful. But it doesn't mean. But it's a lawful order. If a judge orders somebody arrested, a bench warrant or any other kind of warrant, and signs off on it, it's a lawful arrest. I mean, you fight it out in court. But what is the cop supposed to do? He can't not arrest you. And if he doesn't, somebody else will. Right?
Why can't they? Why can't the police union say, or maybe the police union in these counties where they're not supporting, or the governors aren't supporting?
Because they've taken an oath. Because if a judge orders a warrant, they have to execute the warrant. That's the job of the sheriff's department. It's in the state constitution.
Even if it's unjust, even if they issue a warrant that says,
but a judge's warrant isn't unjust. Listen to me. Listen. A judge's warrant is not unjust. A judge's warrant is a warrant. You got to fight it out in court. It's up to the sheriff has to execute that warrant because the judge issued it. If you find out that the warrant was issued improperly, if you find out the basis of the warrant was wrong, all those other things, that's not for the sheriff's officers to decide. That's for the lawyers to decide in the process of court.
No moral responsibility whatsoever. So if the judge orders them, we're going to arrest every single Italian in Philadelphia. They say the judge says
okay.
it. Murphy
I, okay,
says
listen,
it,
listen.
Says
do you,
we're
is
do
that are we talking about a judge ordering everybody to arrest every Italian in Philadelphia? Is that what we're talking about?
No,
we're talking about
a
judge. You know what, Ray? Thank you for the call. Maybe the cops will make a tough stand against the judge. The judge is ordering a arrest warrant based on contempt of court because the court issued orders. They're standing up to that. They don't have to. They could comply. They don't want to. I don't blame them. But I mean, that's the risk. That's the reason why Byron Hannity and Tucker Carlson. And my show, because they're not going by and complying. They're fighting it. That's why they're on national television. If they just went and said, OK, we'll comply, that'd be the end of it. There wouldn't be a story. Obviously, these guys are making a stand. They want to make a stand. But, you know, I mean, what are you going to have? You're going to have the Camden County Sheriff's Department, the entire Sheriff's Department stand down because a judge is ordering a warrant based on the fact that he says they're in contempt of his orders. I mean, unfortunately, that's not how it works. You know what I mean? That's just not how it works. It's not the judge isn't ordering the cops to go in there and execute them. That would be different. But I mean, it's a lawful arrest warrant. That's the problem. You fight it out in court. You fight it out on TV. You fight it out on radio. You fight it in the court of public opinion. These guys are looking to make change. They're not worried about having an arrest record, by the way. That's the least of their worries, obviously, because they know they were going to get arrested. They knew that. And they did it anyway because they're trying to make a point. Sometimes in civil disobedience, you want to get arrested. I mean, Martin Luther King's letter from a Birmingham jail would have less impact if it was a letter from outside the Birmingham jail. You know, the fact that it was sent from inside the jail is why it had such impact, not because it was from the outside. Sometimes you need to get arrested to make your point heard so that people know what you're doing. Greg is in Flowertown. Greg, good morning. Hello,
hey,
Greg.
Rich, I was going to say something about the vaccine, but hello, Rich. You there?
Hello, yes.
Oh, here you go. I was about to say something about the vaccine, but just to piggyback what you just said rather quickly. Isn't it ironic? You watch TV and you see all the other three goofball networks talking about how patriotic and how brave all those protesters are. And then it goes into complete violence and chaos. Nobody says a word on those things. And yet these guys are following the rules and using a silent protest. And doing everything properly, and yet you don't hear anybody backing him other than a few people on the side that I believe is right. So
yeah,
that doesn't make too much sense. And the back to the thing with the vaccine, everybody knew in the Democratic Party when Trump brought in, didn't go with the government, he went with the big companies. He let the market handle it. And that has freaked them out from the get-go. Now they're seeing all his hard work and the power and the pressure he's putting on them. Now they're actually spooked because if this comes through or even works a little bit, this is his tick back to the presidency. And that's what I believe anyway.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. I do. I think that's why they're so worried about it. It's like the true October surprise, you know, that would actually make an impact to the election. Hey, Greg, thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it very much. 855-839-1210 is the number. Matt says, I don't know, Rich, on the arrest warrant with the Jersey cops. The cops are in a tough spot. They have to do it. The sheriff's officers take an oath. They're there to enforce these things. But the owners wanted to get arrested, guys. Let's just be honest. They wanted to get arrested. That's why they're in Tucker and that's why they're on Hannity. They're making a point. They're making a stand. It would not be as much impact if they weren't arrested. But let's play this out. I mean, you realize that even if the sheriff's officers had said they weren't going to arrest them, then the governor would have ordered the state police to arrest them. And I mean, there's always going to be somebody who's willing to throw the cuffs on and not risk their career over the issue. And I mean, that's just the reality. So that's why you fight this stuff out in court. You don't fight it out by, you know, the cops all saying, well, we're not going to do our duty. And, you know, I mean, it's just you're asking too much there from the police. These guys aren't getting hurt here. You know, they're not like the warranty man equating this to rounding up Italians and Asians when FDR. These guys are not being hurt. These guys are engaging in civil disobedience so that they can be heard, so that they can make their voice heard on a national platform. And you know what? Getting arrested helps with that a lot. It really does, right? It helps with that a lot, because now their voice is heard to millions of people across the country. Everybody knows what Phil Murphy's doing. You've got legislators involved now. You've got local elected officials involved. They're like, you're arresting these gym owners for what? Now think about if they hadn't got arrested, right? Think about that for a second. If they hadn't got arrested, then what's the story? But the fact that they did get locked up, now people are turning around and going, wait a second. These guys haven't hurt anybody. These guys haven't done anything wrong. These guys are not engaging in violent acts. Why are you arresting them? What is that about? Why are you doing that? Because they're violating the king's orders? Is that the kind of country we want to be? So, I mean, I salute them for getting arrested, because had they not been arrested, what would we be talking about with this? Nothing. We'd be talking about how they can't open their gym today. Versus, is this a country we want to be, where you violate the governor's executive orders and you wind up getting locked up for it, and you just want to open up your business, not put anybody in danger, you don't hurt a soul, and you get locked up? Is that the kind of country we want to be? Meanwhile, in Portland, we're saluting quote-unquote protesters who are throwing frozen water bottles at cops' heads and trying to burn down a courthouse, and we're calling that a peaceful protest, and we're questioning why federal law enforcement's being sent in, you know? And on that point about law enforcement, you know, the problem with law enforcement picking and choosing what to enforce is that, you know, what if the federal law enforcement officers went into Portland and said, we're not going to enforce this because we believe that the people should engage in their acts here. When you get into that area of letting them decide, it becomes very tricky. It becomes very tricky, quite frankly, and you got to be careful about that. Then you'd have a burnt down courthouse because, you know, the federal officers didn't want to intervene in their so-called rights. I don't know. I'm just saying, you got to be careful with that stuff.
Thanks for taking the Zeoli Show with you. Rich Zeoli, weekday mornings on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Marcy says, I respectfully disagree. The police take an oath not to Governor Murphy, but to the Constitution, and the police padlock their doors again so they cannot feed their families. Remember something, though. It was not the governor who ordered them arrested. It was the judge who ordered them arrested. And judges have that power to issue arrest warrants. That is, if we we can't let the system totally break down here, right? We gotta still have a system of order. And judges, you know, if a judge orders an arrest warrant, then somebody has to execute that arrest warrant. But I think it's important to remember something here. The power is in the arrest, right? The power that Ian Smith and Frank Trombetti are exercising today is in the fact that they got arrested. That is a civil disobedience. Remember, Martin Luther King's letter from a Birmingham jail is less powerful when it's a letter from outside a Birmingham jail. Civil disobedience matters. If the government approves of it, then, you know, there you go. John is in Philly. John, good morning.
Hi, good morning. Two things, Rich. I thought that the two gentlemen said that there was no arrest warrant that was presented when they came in the building.
They said they were not presented with an arrest warrant. That's right. They should have been. Yeah.
Right. And isn't that a violation on the floor?
Could be, yeah.
Sheriff?
Certainly could be. Yeah, there were a lot of procedures. Oh. It sounds to me like they were not followed properly, yeah.
Right. And then the other thing is, I always hear some small county sheriffs say they're not going to enforce unjust laws, like when it comes to the Second Amendment. So isn't this something they could have done also? And I understand it's a judge's order, but couldn't they have done the same thing, saying, well, no, we're not going to enforce this, and left it up to the state police?
I mean, no, because the job of the sheriff's officers is to do that. But look, I mean, the sheriff's an elected official in Camden County.
Yeah.
So the Camden County sheriff has to make a political calculation. Do I think it's better for me politically to have these guys locked up, or politically for me to defy a judge? At the end of the day, the people will get to decide, because he's an elected official. That's a nice thing about having a sheriff be an elected official, right? I know that there are some counties in New Jersey where the sheriff would have probably said, we're not enforcing it. You know, I mean, so then there you go. But this sheriff makes a political calculation. He doesn't want to incur the wrath of Murphy. He doesn't want to incur the wrath of the Camden County Democratic machine. And, you know, I mean, it's Camden County. You think the guy's really going to lose over this?
Right. Gotcha.
All right, buddy. Thank you. Appreciate it. Man. Right, it is Camden, right? Belmar? Am I right, Camden? Camden or Gloucester? Whatever. It's all the same freaking South Jersey Democrat machine. Stinks to high heaven. It does. It stinks, the corruption.
Stinks.
Gene is in Lancaster. Yes, Gene. Good morning.
Good morning. Hey, Rich. Loved your show, but I got to disagree with you this morning. The previous caller who mentioned why the police enforced this arrest.
Let me ask you something. If the federal officers in Portland refused to enforce the orders given by the attorney general, what would you say?
Well, let me finish my thought.
What would you say? I'm going to ask you a question. What would you say?
I would say if that is a legal arrest, yes, but would you act like just...
No, I'm asking you a question. What if the federal... Listen to me. I'm asking a question, please.
That's not the end of the story.
If the federal officers...
There have been times in our history when law enforcement disobeyed an order, and they're heroes, in my opinion.
Why are we debating a hypothetical? The guy's got arrested. Why are we debating this hypothetical situation? The guy's got arrested. I don't understand this. We're not debating should the cops arrest him or not. They already got arrested. This is so silly to me. But what would you say if the federal officers in Portland...
That's not the end of the story.
Okay.
I don't know why you can't let me speak.
Go ahead.
I'm saying just because there's an unjust order from a court judge, the local police can make the moral decision, and I know they may lose their jobs and all that, but the sheriff can say, I'm not arresting that. Look at our history with slavery. There are people who have disobeyed the law, and it was law at that time, but it was wrong. So they disobeyed, and I think we need to give the police that would be honorable if they would refuse to arrest these men. But just because a judge is corrupt, and you say, well, it's the law. It's the end of the story. Well, it's not. It's what they're doing to this gym owner is wrong.
I agree,
and everybody knows it. And
you fight it out in
the
court.
The police can stand up too.
You fight it out in
court. No,
because
the court
they got. Hang on. Can I finish, please? You made your point.
Sure. Go ahead.
And now that they got arrested, they might have federal civil rights violations that they can use. You understand that point?
Yeah, we've been down that road. Everybody
we have not been down that road because they haven't been arrested yet. Now, okay, wait, Gene, I respectfully, I got to let you go, man, because you want to go on your soapbox here, and I appreciate that, but. These guys got arrested, right? There might have been federal civil rights violations to the arrest. Now, if they had not been arrested, now what happens? Just remember that. You know, I think this whole argument about this is really kind of silly in the sense that because it already happened. But, you know, if the federal officers in Portland decided that they were going to stand down because the mayor of Portland doesn't want them there and they don't want to violate the mayor, would you be saying that that's okay? Or would you say that that's not okay? What would you say? At that moment, you know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like it's like a pick and choose thing. And I get uncomfortable with that. The officers were not ordered to do anything that hurt anybody. They weren't ordered to do anything that, that caused any physical harm. These guys were ordered to, arrest them based on a judge issuing a warrant from what I understand of the story. And as a consequence of that, now these guys have a whole new pathway to go fight in court. Would you want the military not listening to an order from the president if they believed that it was not a... I mean, like, let's say, for example, all these generals who, like, hate Trump, right? And they all hate him, and they come out, and they give their things. And if Trump ordered an attack on something, and they said, well, we're not going to do it, would you be okay with that? I'm not talking about him committing, you know, ethnic cleansing or something illegal. I'm saying if the president ordered an attack and they felt that it wasn't right, would you be okay with that? Because that's... You know, I mean, this is the problem when you go down that road. I'm not saying you don't ever go down that road. Like, I don't feel like it's black and white. I'm just saying that's the problem when you go down that road. You have to think about all those unintended consequences of that. And it's very easy to be in the position to say, well, I'm going to make a stand here and say no because I don't believe that. But is that your job, really? I mean, is that your job if you're a general to say, I don't believe we should nuke that country, Mr. President? Or is your job just to freaking order the planes in the air? I mean, what's your job here? That's the problem. That's the trick. That's the rub. You know what I mean? So when you go down that road, you just got to be very careful. 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. But the virus, the vaccine, right? So this is amazing. The timing of this is really amazing. You got this, this October surprise, as they call it in politics. And I love that, by the way, because I love the idea that, you know, you plan, and all of a sudden, right, there is a moment where suddenly now everything changes in politics. Everything changes, and now suddenly you're in a position where you are fighting for your life because of something you didn't see coming. So now everybody's got Trump down, right? He's down for the count. He's down for the count. All of a sudden, it's October, and the vaccine is approved. Now, first of all, the question is, would that be politics? So Dr. Fauci was on with, I believe it was Wolf. I believe in Wolf. Might have been somebody else. Would he have political pressure? Has the White House asserted political pressure to move too quickly? Cut number eight.
Well, certainly there are no corners being cut, John. I'll guarantee you that. Safety is very important. What we're doing is not compromising safety and certainly not compromising scientific integrity. We, in fact, briefed the president today about this in the Oval Office, and there is no political pressure that I've seen at all to move quickly.
There is no political pressure that I've seen at all to move quickly. There you go. So what happens if the virus is developed at record time? What happens then? This is Dr. Fauci on with CNN's Wolf Blitzer, cut seven.
This is a phase three trial, Wolf, which is determined to find out if, in fact, the vaccine works, in addition to getting information further on safety. The safety data thus far looks good, but now it's crunch time. We're trying to figure out, does it actually work? So it's a 30,000 person trial. 15,000 will get the vaccine, 15,000 will get a placebo. The trial was launched today. This is truly, Wolf, record time. The virus was first put on a public database, the sequence, early on in January. We did a phase one trial very soon thereafter, and this is phase three right now, which will take several months to determine if, in fact, it does work. So to go from not even knowing what the virus was in early January to a phase three trial is really record time. And I might add, it was not done compromising safety, nor was it done compromising scientific integrity. It's just the technologies we have now and the ability to move very quickly have brought us to where we are right now.
There you go. That is the that is Dr. Fauci right there. We're moving ahead with this. He also agrees, by the way, that President Trump should open schools in the fall. Cut 7B.
Well, Wolf, I think you have to start off by saying what is the default position that you would like to hold? And that is we should try as best as possible to open the schools for a number of reasons. And we know that the downstream unintended ripple effect consequences of keeping the children out of school is something that can really have bad effects, not only on the children, but also on working parents who'll have to stay home to take care of the children. However, and I underline however, having said that, what is paramount is the safety and the welfare of the children and of their teachers. And so we live in a big country that has a lot of diversity with regard to the level of infection in a particular community. And the people responsible need to take that in effect. If you can open up a school safely because you have a very, very low level of infection, then likely that will happen. But when you have a lot of infections, you've got to make a decision at the local level, making sure you account for and are very sensitive to the safety of the children. And that will vary from district to district and from state and city to city. And that needs to be decided at the local level.
Yeah, well, he's right. It should be mattered at the local level, not the state level, the local level. That's why if the governor of New Jersey shuts down the schools or the governor of Pennsylvania shuts down the schools again, be a huge mistake because it should be the local level. If there's a town that has an outbreak, deal with it as a town. But there you go. That's the issue here. So I would say do that. And you know, if they try to impose these one size fits all orders down on everybody, don't do it. That's not how that should work. I really believe it should not work that way. 855-839-1210 if you want to weigh in on all this stuff. 855-839-1210. Look, don't get me wrong. I love the good debate. It's a good debate to have. If the sheriff, by the way, wants to engage in civil disobedience as an elected official who's a constitutional officer under the state constitution, he's allowed to do it. But clearly this sheriff chose not to. And so then ask yourself this question. The guys that work for him, what do they do at that moment? Remember, they're not elected officials. They work for the sheriff. So if the boss tells them to go do it and they don't do it, then what? See, it's like when sheriffs don't enforce gun laws that they find to be unconstitutional, they have that right to do that because the sheriff is elected. He's a constitutional officer, so it's a totally different situation. But if the sheriff says, okay, I'm going to do that, I'm going to enforce that, what are the guys underneath him supposed to do is my point. What are they supposed to do, those guys? So the civil disobedience goes with the sheriff. If the sheriff, though, has decided not to engage in that, well, then, and he's an elected official, so ultimately the people get to decide, right? What do you do in that moment? I'm all for that. If the sheriff had said, I'm not going to do this, fine, I get it. I understand. And like I said, there would be some sheriffs that would have. Just like you got sheriffs in Colorado, you got sheriffs who say, I'm not enforcing this. This is unconstitutional. I'm not doing it. I get it. I totally get it. But when the sheriff has decided it is constitutional or it's lawful and I'm going to enforce it, you expect these deputies to not? That's where I get very confused in terms of how you want that to flow, really. You know what I mean? Ultimately, the sheriff is held accountable by the people at the in the ballot box, which is a good thing. It's a very, very good thing. That's what you want. So then who else is held accountable? How about governors? Like Cuomo, for example. Cuomo, who said, you know, the nursing home thing, and this is from yesterday, Bill. The nursing homes, the criticism, politically motivated, right? Politically motivated. I'll play that for you in just a second. But first, it is, Tuesday now? What a day, right? What
yes.
a day.
It is the crazy. I mean, every day is a full news day, but today there's just news exploding.
Yeah. I agree. Yes, there is news exploding, right?
Yes, yes.
And we still don't have an answer on whether or not the Phils or the Yankees are playing yet.
No, I was just looking at a live report. So they're in this holding pattern. So really all eyes are on Major League Baseball. Their commissioner right now is saying, hey, he's kind of downplaying it, saying, look, they could be back to play by Wednesday. So, because the Phils obviously played the Marlins over the weekend. Miami Marlins, 11 players, 2 coaches testing positive. So now everybody's being tested. Everybody's stuck here. And as far as our game scheduled for tonight with the Yankees, so the Yankees are still here. The Marlins are here. The Phils are here. Football, they're starting, you know, a block or two away. They're starting their football practice at the NovaCare, or not practice today. They're just reporting to camp for football at the NovaCare complex. But it's this holding pattern. So I don't have official word. Because some people are reporting, no, the game is still scheduled. But my belief is...
They haven't canceled the game yet, which is good.
They haven't technically canceled it. Everything
good.
Is just in a holding pattern. They gave saliva tests to everybody. So,
ew.
And I guarantee you that... What's that?
I said, ew.
Ew. So,
sorry, I have a story on strippers, too. That's probably what I was thinking of.
Saliva and strippers.
They've got... in Texas, what they're doing right now, they're doing a drive-up strip club. Swear.
Everything
so
is drive-in.
Everybody... capitalism always wins, right? So what you do is... And this is a true story out of Texas. You drive your car up, and you're allowed to get 2 dances from the safety of your vehicle, and the dancer dances next to your vehicle. Vivid Gentlemen's Club. It's a drive-through strip club. The first in the state... Black metal barricades separate the dancers from the cars, and dollar bills litter the asphalt between the white siding of the tent walls. The purplish-blue lighting casts a familiar ambiance over the scene, but obvious reminders of the pandemic remain. Some of the performers are in face masks, and they're allowed to take their tops off, but not their masks.
Oh. But
yeah.
So they can't, they're not dancing like on the sunroof or on the hood of the car.
Well, maybe if you give them extra, I don't know.
That's considered the lap dance. It's the
That
car.
Would be the lap dance. Yeah, baby, I'll roll around on your hood. Right?
Oh, no. This
Man.
Is total sin right here.
So how are we looking today? What's cooking?
So that's the big story, and I'll continue to watch it through the Zioli show. Just some national headlines. Senate Republicans unveiling that $1 trillion coronavirus stimulus package yesterday with another round of payments. So everybody's talking about that. The head of the Chinese Center for the CDC and Prevention says he claims he was injected with an experimental COVID-19 vaccine in an attempt to persuade the public in China to follow suit when one vaccine is approved. And the UN saying coronavirus-linked hunger is leading to the death of 10,000 children a month in the world. So blaming child hunger now, and we had talked about that before. There's a newly published study that says eat more seaweed. So research has found that seaweed is able to help some COVID patients recover faster from severe cases of the illness and may make it more likely that they survive. So this is a new study in, I found it on nature.com. It suggests that an extract from seaweed may outperform the drug remdesivir, which was the first major pharmaceutical breakthrough of the coronavirus pandemic. And keep in mind, we have all this rise in cases, not as big as the spike last spring. But one thing everybody's saying, thank goodness, is that although we're testing more, remdesivir has been called, you know, this wonderful drug. But now researchers are saying eat the seaweed, or you can take it in the form of heparin, which is already an approved drug by the FDA. So I know everybody here loves seaweed. You know, when
I do. I get seaweed salad whenever I get sushi. I do. True story. Although it gets stuck in your teeth a lot. That's the only downside to it. But I do love it.
Toothpick.
Delicious.
Penn Museum taking
down. Greg's sniffing his nose in the background?
Well, I think he likes seaweed. I'm making him hungry.
You know what's amazing is that Stocker has no idea how to use a microphone. The guy has been in radio for 40 years. No idea how to use a microphone. Sniffing and breathing, sighing and breathing. How long have you been in radio?
Since 2002.
All right, so that's like 18 years. I'm no math guy. And you're incredibly talented. There's no doubt. You're the greatest producer in the history of radio, no doubt. But I just find it amazing that you don't know how to use a microphone being in radio for 18 years. That just amazes me.
No, it's the mute button on here, you know, when I'm not on. No,
what
I didn't
sniffing,
realize it was
by the way. Are you doing illegal drugs? What are you sniffing? You're dad now. You can't do illegal drugs. You're a dad.
I'm allergic to something in my basement, I think. It's like, every time I'm down here, I sneeze and like.
Wait a minute. You're not sniffing something from a little package that you received in the mail from China.
Are you sniffing those Chinese seeds, Stocker?
I'm not.
There's a huge warning out. Don't plant them. Don't sniff them. Just throw them away or call the Department of Agriculture.
Because clearly China's sending us these seeds because they want to destroy us. I have no doubts about it. They hate us. They're like, we didn't get you with COVID. We'll try seeds.
That's a real news story. It's bizarre.
Greg, what you're allergic to in your basement is it moldy? Do you need to put a dehumidifier in there?
No, I actually don't know what it is. It might be the stuff that's on the carpet, you know, like allergens or something. I'm not sure.
Dust, probably dust. Yeah. Then you sit there in the mic and you're sniffing and coughing and breathing, right? I mean,
you need the blue light, the UVA, UVB light.
Yeah, that's what you need.
Kills all that.
I agree. That's why
I'm not kidding.
I know, Dawn. We know you're not kidding. You love the blue light.
I love the light.
You love blue lights and HVAC filters.
Yes. Well, not any filter. Electromagnetic static filters.
Yes.
The last story is the Penn Museum taking down parts of their Morton cranial collection, and they're going to send it to Cuba. This is a controversial, or it has become controversial now, a collection acquired in 1966 from the estate of a 19th century scientist named Sam Morton, and it contains 53 skulls of enslaved people, a form of slaves. And so, you know, with the movements that are going on now, they said this is an inappropriate collection and display.
So where is it now? What museum?
The Penn Museum. So they took it down. They put it in the basement. I don't know if it's Greg Stocker's basement.
No, it's next to the Ark in Raiders. It's in that warehouse. We got our top people on it. Top people.
So we are under a heat advisory today. We didn't have one yesterday, but today, yes. So NBC 10 First Alert forecast. Today, 94 degrees. Heat index makes it feel like it's more than 100 degrees. So be safe. And that heat advisory in effect 11 a.m. till 8 p.m. Heat advisory is not for the Lehigh Valley or Berks or Lancaster counties. We could have some damaging wind gusts tomorrow in storms. 92 degrees, partly sunny tomorrow. And Thursday's about the same. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, we cool down into the mid-80s. So the weekend will feel good. Let's talk about Hint Water because it's pure. It's infused with surprisingly true fruit flavors, watermelon, blackberry, cherry. No sugar, sweeteners, or calories. Available in your local grocery store or drinkhint.com. Hint, water with a touch of true fruit flavor. I'm Dawn, Zeila Show News, live, always on the radio.com app.
Thank you, Dawn. Appreciate it. 855-839-1210 is our number for you to weigh in today on all these matters. Cuomo. So this is what Cuomo had to say about all the criticism over the nursing home deaths in New York State, which, as you know, were off the charts. That's why I've dubbed him the nursing home killer. This is Governor Cuomo, cut number 5.
You've gotten a lot of pressure and a lot of suspicion cast on the Department of Health's independent report, or internal report on nursing homes. Why not just appoint an independent investigator to produce their own report and then put it to bed?
I don't believe your characterization is correct. I believe it is a political issue. I think it's the New York Post. I think it's Michael Goodwin. I think it's Bob McManus. I think it's Fox TV. I think it is all politically motivated. If anybody looked at the facts, they would know that it was wholly absurd on its face. People died in nursing homes. That's very unfortunate. Just on the top line, we are number 35th in the nation in percentage of deaths in nursing homes. Go talk to 34 other states first. Go talk to the Republican states now, Florida, Texas, Arizona. Ask them what is happening in nursing homes.
It's not all politics.
Mark.
No, it's not all politics. It's not all politics. What the reality is, it's not all politics. The mainstream media, as it's called, doesn't go after you for the nursing home deaths. They're not dying in these states in nursing homes, pal. That's wrong. That's incorrect. They want to protect this guy, I'm telling you. They want to protect Cuomo. He's their star. He's their golden child. Listen, you know why I have a problem with these with the mask mandate issue? Because I've always said to you, mandates have to be enforced. And how do we enforce things in this country? We enforce things with force. Reason.com, my favorite libertarian site. Miami police set up mask traps, issuing $100 fines to people wearing masks improperly. The theoretical case for government mask mandates has to be weighed against the reality of their enforcement. So as you know, the problem with mandates is somebody has to enforce the mandate. When it's something that, like, say, a store does, a store says, well, you're not allowed in here. When it's the government who does that, then the police have to enforce that. So, you know, it's interesting. We had a couple callers who are very passionate about when will the police stop enforcing these laws that they don't feel are constitutional. That's not how it works in this country. But the real question is, when are we going to realize that whenever we talk about reforming police, you really have to start with reforming the laws, because the laws are the reason why people interact with the police in the first place, right? So now you're going to have interactions now with law enforcement and people who are not properly wearing masks, and something's going to go wrong. And then what happens, right? What's going to happen? It's been 2 weeks since Miami-Dade County announced it would be fining people for not wearing masks in public. Florida media outlets are filled with stories of people cited for wearing masks improperly, lowering masks to sip a drink, or removing their face covering once outside a store. On Thursday, the Miami Herald reported that the Miami-Dade Police Department has issued 162 citations for violating the county's mandatory mask ordinance, which comes with a $100 penalty. One woman says she removed her mask in the parking lot of a Publix grocery store when a police officer approached her and wrote her a ticket for not wearing a mask. She told the Herald the parking lot was nearly empty and she felt set up by the police. She's not the only one. The ABC affiliate Local 10 reports that Dean Gonzalez was fined while leaving a North Miami Beach Publix because his mask didn't cover his nose. The encounter was captured on video. In it, an officer can be heard telling Gonzalez that improper mask usage is as bad as not wearing a mask at all. Gonzalez accused the cops of setting up a mask trap and said that they threatened him with arrest if he didn't sign the ticket he was issued. The Herald article includes several other examples of people being fined while wearing masks, including a customer at a barber shop who lowered his mask to take a sip of water right as a police officer entered the business. Now, here's what I will say. In law enforcement, there's something called discretion, right? That's different than cops, like, not following a judge's order or something like that. There's discretion. If you're a cop and you see somebody lower their mask to take a sip of water, why are you giving the guy a summons? What are you doing? Right? If a guy's sitting there by his car by himself, what are you doing? What is that? Why are we doing this? These officers need to show more discretion here. They should not be doing this crap. I understand you got to enforce it. I understand that that's the law down there. I get that. But a little discretion. There's a difference between somebody walking in a store without wearing a mask whatsoever and somebody who takes it down to take a sip of water. You give that person a summons? What the hell is that? What is that? So that's where I want to see a little discretion exercised here. Come on, this is common sense here. The police in Miami-Dade have conducted 500 random compliance checks each day to enforce the county's public health ordinance. Hey, what's going to happen when the first person who says, no, I'm resisting, and then gets beat the hell out of or gets shot or something like that? What's going to happen is my question. What we see what we're doing here, what we're setting up for conflict between law enforcement and the individual. And you see how this clash, this coming clash, it's like Eric Garner would not have been arrested had there not been a law against selling loose cigarettes. Remember? I always remind people of that fact. Eric Garner would not have been arrested had he not been violating a law against selling loose cigarettes that was passed by a New York City council that was hell-bent on collecting their revenue. These people in this county legislature who passed this mask ordinance, this mandatory, and then set the police up to go enforce it, you're going to have a conflict here. You're going to have a clash. It is inevitable. It's inevitable that it's going to happen. And where's the left screaming about the authoritarianism, by the way, of trapping people who are, of setting up people who are taking a drink of water? Where are the screams of authoritarianism with that? No, because they agree with this. That's what I mean, the hypocrites. They agree with this. There was one Wawa convenience store where 8 people were cited over 2 days for not wearing masks, suggesting that police are indeed setting up mask traps. Mask mandates have proliferated across the United States as a way of combating the spread of COVID-19. Police are often empowered to enforce these rules through fines and even arrests. Enforcement varies between jurisdictions, however, with some communities aiming for voluntary compliance. Miami-Dade County appears to be among the most aggressive enforcers of its mask mandate. In San Francisco, another large city with a mask mandate, police have issued 26 citations for violating the city's emergency health order. One could make a libertarian case for government mask mandates during a pandemic on the grounds that no one has an inherent right to cough deadly pathogens on another person. But that theoretical case has to be weighed against the reality of policing in America, where cops frequently resort to aggressive enforcement. But that's because enforcement is enforced with aggressive. I mean, that's the thing about enforcement. It's not enforced by hugs and candy and kisses. It's enforced by force. That's why the word has the word force in it. I mean, I keep saying this. It's like, my God, you know, the reason why we talk about reform, we never talk about reforming the laws. In fact, we make more of them all the time, more mandates that have to be enforced. And these mayors, these governors who want Trump to have a federal mask mandate, one day they're screaming about getting the federal police out of their cities. The next day they're demanding a mask mandate. Who enforces that on the federal level? Federal police. God, I could lose my mind with this. This I really could. 855-839-1210. 855-839-1210 is the number for you to weigh in all this.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.